Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Hi, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Amanda. And we are two teachers who love learning.
We love learning about anything that is spooky, weird, bizarre, or creepy.
We're here to investigate stories of mystery from the paranormal universe and get to the bottom of it if we can.
Come along for the ride! Okay, so today's going to be a little bit different because the last time we were together, Amanda, you proposed the topic of the black-eyed kids, which was ooky spooky. I have kind of a more general, like, realm of a topic that I'm fascinated with. So I'm just really curious about this topic, and I know you have been too. So I took a deep dive the last 36 hours.
Oh my.
I know, I had to work fast. We decided to move up our podcast date, so I had to move fast. But the topic is astral projections slash remote viewing slash out of body experiences. So I recall a year or two ago, you like calling me or texting me.
Yes,
like, hey,
I remember.
What are you doing right now? I want you to find an object in your house and I want you to think about it. And you were talking to me and we were separated by time and space. You at your house and me at mine. You're like, okay, find an object somewhere in your house. And then I want you to just concentrate on it. Just look at it. Think about it. Think about nothing but that object. And I'm going to see if I can do some remote viewing and draw or write down impressions of words and images that you were hoping to receive, and then see if we could communicate telepathically or through this remote viewing experience. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember it. And I've actually been practicing regularly since then. That was the first day that I tried it because it was really like the first day or two that I had just heard about it myself.
Okay.
And I was diving into research like you probably just did in the last 36 hours. So I actually know a lot about this topic and this is a real deal. It's really a thing that is
That's what it seems
real.
To be.
Yeah. The CIA used it and they released, you know, it was one of the like released documents when they did this big release.
It was declassified.
Declassified. That's the word.
You're talking about Stargate?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the first thing that I saw with the government. It was called during the Cold War. It had a bunch of different names. They ended up landing on Stargate, which would have been a hilarious, like, think tank brainstorm session to be in. Like, the government officials talking about, what are we going to call this special project? Let's call it Stargate. there was some nerd who had a major win that day.
Some Star Trek lover.
And it ended up being, what I've read most recently is that it was declassified and then it was totally defunded because there wasn't, quote unquote, enough evidence to support continued research in that, supposedly. Who knows what's still going on at Area 51 or anywhere else, which I'll come back to Area 51 with regard to astral projection in a bit. But the one thing I did take away from this information about the Cold War and Stargate, and we started studying astral projection because we thought Russia was doing it, I now understand as a public school teacher that the number one way to get something funded is to say that Russia is doing it already.
Huh, interesting. We've got to stay competitive, right? But you said something about the research not being backing. Well, at least for remote viewing, what I read was that there is research to support that it's more than like random chance accuracy. So random chance accuracy, roll the dice.
Yeah.
Some, you know, there's a certain percentage of time that you would be able to guess an object that you're not seeing, that someone else is seeing far away. That's what remote viewing is. But with their experiments that they were doing as part of the project, they had, it was like 100% accuracy, but it was higher than the average typical accuracy. It was enough higher to be like, oh, there's really something here.
And some of the subjects of the experiment later came forward and said, actually, it was more than what they're saying, like, we feel like as subjects that it was more successful in proving that remote viewing is legitimate mm-hmm. than what the government might be saying in their official document. So whatever the case may be, it is a fascinating topic. It's a global topic. Mm-hmm. Astral projection, out-of-body experience, remote viewing, which are three separate things, but they have a lot of crossover, mm-hmm. it seems. They are concepts, practices that are studied in different ways all over the world, which I find that to be fascinating, that if it crosses over into various world religions and cultures, there's got to be something to it. And also, just because something can't be scientifically proven does not mean it's not real. It just may mean that science hasn't proven it yet. Mm-hmm. Throughout history, time and time and time, gajillions of times, we have learned things in science that prior to that we did not think were true.
For sure. Like all the stuff happening right now with quantum physics.
Yeah.
There's all these things. I keep getting like notices from my Google reader that I follow this kind of stuff, but it's just constant like, oh, we just learned this. We just learned this.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but let's talk about the definition of remote viewing. From what I understand, remote viewing is when you in one place, the person practicing remote viewing, can do whatever their process is, whether that's getting in a dark room that's totally quiet and there's no distractions, close your eyes, take some deep breathing, have a pencil and paper, and you start trying to place yourself or see through the eyes of someone or somewhere else an object that is not with you currently in your physical space, but that you could somehow project your vision into a different time and place and report on it from where you are in your real place. Is that anywhere close?
You're close. There's different kinds of remote viewing. One that they were doing experiments with has a really strict protocol where there's like specific things that you write on the paper and specific cues to signal you to like grab a piece of information. Because if you're sitting there, and it's just so weird that I know about this.
But I love it.
If you're sitting there and you're just in a quiet place and you're just trying to like come up with things on your own, have you ever like sat and meditated or like sat and little words or little things will pop
it's
into
hard,
your head?
It's hard because your mind wanders.
Your mind wanders and little things will pop in your head. The rule is none of those are accurate. So if you're sitting there and you're trying to imagine what someone else is looking at over in France, and you're sitting there quiet and focusing, and you're like, a hammer comes to your mind. You write that off to the side and scratch it off. It's never correct. But if you, the way they do it with the protocol is they have someone sitting there next to the person who's trying to guess, and the every random amount of time between like 5 seconds and 30 seconds, they'll give a cue and they'll say a word. I can't remember what it is, but let's say it's like, go. So that person will just randomly say, go. And then that's your trigger. The first thing that comes in your head when somebody says that to you, that's what you write down.
Interesting.
And you never write down, you never try to guess exactly what it is. Like if someone's looking at the Leaning Tower of Pizza, you would never try to get to like specifically Leaning Tower of Pizza. What you would think of is...
Time out, pause.
Yeah.
Are you saying Leaning Tower of Pizza?
What's it called? Pizza.
Pizza. But... a Leaning Tower of Pizza sounds amazing. Now I'm super hungry and want pizza. But it's pizza, P-I-S-A. Well, but I'm now going to call it the Leaning Tower Pizza.
That's
so funny.
But in my head, I see the spelling as P-I-S-A, right?
But you're pronouncing it pizza.
Yeah, because it's Italian,
maybe
right?
It is. I've never been to Italy. You could be totally right. But then in my head, I just see a Leaning Tower of Domino's pizzas. Oh. So. Anyway, sorry.
Well, if you're doing the experiment and someone says, go, the first thing you might write down is called a bit. And it's just like a little line. And maybe that little line to you signifies the stone, right? Because it's made out of stone. Is that right?
What's made out of stone?
The Leaning Tower of Pizza.
Oh, it's, some sort of stone.
Okay, so you might be thinking stone, or you might get a signal like hard or tall. And it takes hours.
Impressions.
It takes
rather
hours.
Than an exact
yes.
thing.
And you're slow. You get one bit at a time. And the idea is that all knowledge is available to us all the time, everywhere in the world, through time. And kind of picture it like one of those, if you give you a visual of like, if you ever looked at music that's like vibrating on a screen, mm-hmm. kind of up and down, if you kind of picture that music.
Like a sound wave?
Yeah, like a sound wave. Okay. Always going, always like existing here in the world around us. And every now and then you can like tap into it as it's going like on the up wave.
Interesting.
And someone says, you know, the go, the Q word right on that word first thing you think of, supposedly.
Just hoping you are just hoping catching that wave, like a surfer on the global knowledge wave.
Yeah. If you do it enough, and it takes a long time, it takes hours, they'll eventually sketch out something that's very similar to what the person's looking at, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Pizza.
That's so funny.
It is wild.
That is wild.
And it takes practice. So I've been practicing it for a year, but I'm not that good at it. But I also don't have somebody to be there and give me the cues and signals.
So what? How is that different than being, so like clairvoyant? So I think of like in Ghostbusters, Dr. Peter Venkman, played by Bill Murray, is in his quote unquote psychology lab, and he's got an attractive female that he's trying to flirt with, and this poor sap of a guy, and they have playing cards, and no matter what she says, right or wrong, he praises her. Yes, amazing, you got it, ding, ding, ding. But the poor guy, even if he gets it right, he electric shocks him, and that's, but that was a study, in supposed study, right? It was more just about him being around pretty girls, I think. But it was supposedly a study in clairvoyance, not remote viewing, right?
Right. I don't know if he was in that movie studying clairvoyance, like their natural ability, or if he was trying to affect their natural ability with the positive praise.
A positive reinforcement, and the negative consequence. Okay.
I wonder, I don't know. Maybe he was trying to see if it would, like, because that geeky guy with the negative consequences, he was getting it right every time.
Yeah, that was the comedy of the film.
Maybe
that
was the experiment. Yeah.
Okay. I think he just wanted to take that girl out to dinner, if you know what I mean. So I think of that. I also think of Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. She can do all kinds of, Eleven, the character Eleven can do all kinds of things. But the part where I think there's maybe remote viewing, possibly astral projection or out-of-body experiences, is where she is sort of seeing what's going on, like in the upside down or somewhere else in the world. She can sort of get a visual there. The difference being that she also shows up there. Like she can project her whole self somewhere else.
Yeah, people claim they can do something similar, but Eleven has it cranked up to 11, right? Like Eleven's power is out of control. But the neat thing about the experiments they were doing in the CIA is they found that just normal people actually perform better than people who claim to be psychic. So just like your normal average person who worked, I guess they were all like employed by the military in some way, but they used them as the experiments. They were all men, of course. I don't know. They always just used men for all the experiments.
Yeah.
But just normal guys had more accurate results than people who'd had other paranormal kind of training and experience.
Seems like though in government that would be so tedious if that's as good as it ever got. If in government we're trying to spy on another country or in another room somewhere to get secret codes or plans or whatever, seems like that would be a really tedious process to apply.
Really tedious.
When now I think for sure we have far superior espionage to get that information than let's sit in a room for 3 hours at a time to draw a line that signifies hard stone.
But you could map, I agree with you completely, like technology would be way easier to just like get a drone in and have it check out a place. But people claim that they can map out like a base that's holding weapons or whatever so that you know, you could go in there and have a layout of the building.
Jeez,
the doors are, where the corners are. People can use remote viewing to kind of lay out a map.
So that then they could send in real humans or whatever. Interesting.
I can't do it, but that's the kind of stuff they were experimenting with.
Okay. Just to be clear, you
cannot. I cannot do it, and I have practiced.
If anybody knows Amanda and has been wondering, can she see me right now? No. No, she cannot. So let's switch gears a little bit to like out-of-body experiences and astral projection. I've been hearing a lot about it more lately. I've heard about it off and on my whole life, that phrase, astral projection. And lately, with the podcasts that I'm tuned to, there's a lot more people in that realm that I'm paying attention to that are practicing, that are like baby astral projectors or practitioners of it. I don't know what you call them, astral projectors. I don't know. Let's just call them that for right now. People who practice astral projection.
APs.
Yeah, APs.
Awesome.
Thank God
people.
For that. Thank you. Because with the lisp, astral projections is really hard to say over and over again. there's a man named Robert Monroe. Have you heard of this guy?
No.
Okay. This man had his own experiences, so many associated with astral projection, in fact, that he has multiple books published and is most famous for a 1971 classic, quote unquote, called Journeys Out of the Body. And these have been some of the most well-known and influential reports on the subject of astral projection. His experiences are not only detailed and wild, but they're vivid. And he has inspired significant research into altered states of consciousness.
Okay.
So I don't know if you remember the actress Shirley MacLaine. And do you remember the act? Let's start there. Do you remember the actress Shirley MacLaine?
Yes.
Okay. She was a practitioner of this, I believe.
Oh, interesting.
And I remember seeing her when I was a kid talking on a talk show. I'm sure it was something super reputable like Sally Jesse Raphael. And she was talking about this like golden thread or this umbilical cord to the universe.
Okay.
And you had to stay tied to your body, your projection of self, I think of it like a spirit self. If you got it to leave your body and go roaming around time and space in the universe, you had to be careful that that tie wasn't severed or you wouldn't come back to your body and you would die.
That's too stressful. I would never do it.
Very stressful.
My anxiety would not be okay with that.
Very stressful. I get stressed out in an airport thinking I might not make it back home from this airport, let alone the universe or back in time, future time, whatever. So that stuck with me. That imagery from a child stuck with me. And I think similarly to Ouija boards, I kind of just stayed away. Like, not consciously, but I think I always just like,
Gee, like this is
that's freaking
off
me out.
For me. Too risky.
Yep. Too freaky deaky. I don't want to leave my body and perhaps not come back. But now people are talking about it in the things that I listen to, more about it being like a meditation. And it's something that anybody is capable of doing as long as you humble yourself to it and you go into it for the right reasons without any expectations, and that you can engage in it through lucid dreams where you're in that light sleep. And there's all these different people who offer like step-by-step guides to get you kind of started on it. And I was wondering if you might be willing to do like a quick 5-10 minute
I will try it.
Astral projection.
I don't know how it's going to go because I've tried.
Probably nothing is going to happen. Probably we are school teachers who just finished a day of work. We're probably going to fall asleep over here on my alphabet rug before 5 minutes is up. But I thought it might be cool to turn off the lights, lay down for a minute, and then just see if we can get to a relaxed enough state where we might be able to let our spirit just roam for a minute.
Okay.
And see what happens and then report back. Are you willing?
I'm totally willing.
Okay,
I'm
we're
going to
pause
it.
This recording and we'll come back and give you a full report. And it might just be, well, that didn't work, but we'll let you know. Hang tight. All right, so we're back. And a hilarious thing happened while we were lying on my alphabet carpet in the dark with our knees bent on our backs in pyramid position, as I've read about, our hands at our sides. We played some theta-inducing music on iTunes because Amanda's like, I've heard you got to listen to alpha, beta, gamma rays while you do this. And I'm like, that sounds. So I just looked up astral projection music on iTunes. And about 7 minutes in, we hear a key in the door of my classroom. And our poor, unsuspecting custodian comes waltzing in. And I'm like, hi. It's for science, I promise. I know it looks weird. It's after hours, and we're lying on the carpet together listening to gamma rays. So anyway, that just happened.
That actually isn't the first time I've been walked in on sleep, laying on a carpet by a custodian in a classroom. Like, because you just get so tired after school sometimes. I turn up the lights, lay down, fall asleep. And
I have to admit, this was my first time. I'm not saying it'll be the last, but it was my first time. And as I heard her rolling the cart down the hallway, I thought, dear God and baby Jesus, please skip my room today. I want to astral project, but mostly I don't want to be embarrassed by a colleague. It happened. It's over. We survived it. It's cool. So speaking of it's over and we survived it, did anything happen for you?
No, I was unable to relax. I think it's just...
Mom brain.
Too many things thinking about. And I have the problem with relaxing. Anyway, I've tried meditating because I've read so many great things about it. I've tried meditating for years and I just can't.
Does it stress you out more that you can't get to the point of relaxation to meditate?
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah. Because it feels like a failure.
Yeah.
I should be able to at least relax. How can I not do nothing?
It's hard for me.
What I pictured in my mind's eye was like a Hubble telescope image of a black hole or like a galaxy far, far away that we've got imagery of. And that was kind of just swirling on a diagonal plane in the background of my mind's eye, of my imagination or whatever. And then off to the left was like little kid version of me on a swing, like a backyard swing set, swinging up toward this black hole and then back off out of my view and then back toward it. And the weird thing was, is as I was swinging in my mind's eye, my heart started to race. My heart rate went up. And I paid attention to that. I was like, why is my heart starting to race? And I don't know if it was tied to something metaphysical or the fact that I didn't like swings growing up. And here I am now imagining swinging and perhaps flying off, jumping off into this abyss. And then that gives me the sensation, the anticipation of the sensation of my stomach dropping. I hate that feeling. Roller coasters, a big bump on a car ride. I don't like that stomach fly to your throat feeling. So, but that's what I experienced. Don't know why. It'd make a cool painting.
Well, I'm thinking now, you know, like what if you actually were close? I think we would need more time. But what if you were actually close and the way that you would feel if you had an astral projection out of body experience would be that falling sensation?
Then I'm not doing it. I cannot drive down the hill outside this school going the speed limit because there's a bump in it and I feel that bleh feeling.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. So.
And it's not for
it's
you.
It's not for me.
No.
No.
But if you could and you didn't have any negative effects.
That would be pretty awesome.
Where would you like to project yourself to?
That's a great question. Now, a lot of people think that you can actually travel through time and space.
I've heard that, yes.
And to other, not only dimensions, but like other galaxies, other realms, other planets, and that they have been there, done that, and come back to tell about it or write about it. I think, it would be cool to confirm that there's life on other planets. Like, just one.
Sure, that's
and
cool.
And as long as I can come back, I don't care what the planet is like. I don't care what the living organisms are like. Just to confirm there's something alive on this exoplanet, this other planet, and then come back and go, yep, we're not the only things alive in this.
That's a long stretch for creation. Your golden thread.
Really long.
Tethered. It's pretty long.
Yep. No. Where would you go?
I would go to Disneyland. I don't even need a second to think about it. That's the only place I ever want to be all the time. I would just go to Disneyland and I would let my little spirit or whatever.
You would not have to wait in line.
You could go into all the secret places you've always wanted to like check out like that. What's that secret club?
Club 33 or whatever.
Club 33?
I don't know if that's what it's called, but I think it's something like that.
Yeah. I would hang out in the tiki room. I actually find the tiki room very
relaxing. I love the tiki room.
Yes.
Tiki room is supremely underrated. And there's also a delicious Dole Whip.
Oh, yeah. Stand. Well, I couldn't enjoy the Dole Whip. Couldn't enjoy it. I'd
but
still want to go.
Maybe you can. I don't know. I haven't read enough. Can you taste things? Can you experience things of the flesh?
I don't know. We have more research to do.
We do.
Next question.
Yeah.
What would you want to see that is no one else can see, right?
Well, I think Area 51 obviously
for
jumps to
sure.
mind.
Yeah.
And I heard a story of people astral projecting trying to get into Area 51 and were met up by astral projected guards.
I've heard that.
Who were guarding the place through astral projection.
I've heard that.
Like
Area 51.
What?
The base that's on like Antarctica, like different places where you just can't go, that other something will stop them.
That's nuts. That is nuts. And yet we still have national security problems. And we have issues with violence in schools, etc. Whole other topic. But if we can protect things from an astral dimensional plane, there's no excuse.
Well, now you're making me feel bad because I probably should be using, if I had the ability, my ability to like protect people, but I really just want to go to Disneyland.
This wasn't a guilt trip. I didn't intend for this to make you feel bad. It was like, if you could go anywhere without any strings attached, pun intended, where would you go? One string attached. There's one very important string attached. Don't cut that string. Okay, so there is an Astral Academy online. It offers a step-by-step guide to learning astral projection through meditation, relaxation, and visual techniques. Okay, so there's a website, Astral Academy. I have not gone there. Do not give them any money or anything like that, but just go ahead and check it out. There are spiritual retreat centers, online courses, apps, all kinds of schools around this theory and thought and practice.
I wonder if Rantha does it in Yelm. You know how in Yelm?
Dude, she's on my list of topics.
Yeah. Okay.
When you research her. Jay-Z Knight and Rantha.
Yes.
That's going to be one of mine.
She's our local, Yelm isn't too far away, and that's
yeah.
Where
yeah.
She lives.
So if you've heard of Rantha or not, we will cover that because that we grew up with that.
Yeah.
That is childhood. It's not creepypasta. It's real. That really, really happened. I don't know if it's still happening. We need to know.
She's still going. She still has people like live there on a compound.
So again, y'all send us your stories. If you know more about this, educate us. This is not an educational podcast unless you educate us.
So, do you want to see what the email is?
The email address is theparanormalclassroom@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking and wondering and vibing off of and any stories you've got about anything in the paranormal realm. All that said.
Yes, we would love to hear from you.
Meanwhile, don't open the door.